1955 Kahlua Study Group, Tape Number 10, Chapter 20, Praise, Thanksgiving, Adoration. Well, here we find ourselves at the halfway point of this study. And to show you what kind of an exclusive group you are in, he starts by saying, the point that I would like to make is that there is a God. There actually is, and there's no fooling about it. But I doubt that you could go the whole distance of the world at this minute and be very fortunate if you could find 1,000 or 2,000 people who know there is a God. Now, if you think about that, that means travel the entire world, and you're lucky if you find 2,000 people out of 4 billion that have had the actual experience of God. And the purpose for this Kahlua study group, which you are in, is so that you may be one of those 2,000 people who actually know that there is a God. Because this work is leading to a point of experience to where we know there is a God. Not because you read it, or Joel Goldsmith said it, or Emmett Fox, or Siddhartha, or Jesus, but because you experience it on a daily basis. He says God can be just as readily known by us as we can know each other. And from the moment that we do know God through experience, life changes because there is a relaxing of our personal self. If you are knowing God, if you are having that daily contact, there should be a relaxing of your personal self. Is there a relaxing? Or are you still struggling to attain and achieve and acquire? Being students of spiritual truth means that inside of us there is a conviction that God is, but not a knowledge. Not a knowledge through the experience. Now, I think you will find, as I did, that this chapter is sort of a review chapter, touching lightly on a couple of points, and probably we can get through this one pretty rapidly, but we'll see. I've said that before. Now he talks about spiritualism has to do with the subject of contact with people who have passed on. And we all know, if we've seen that show Crossing Over with John Edwards, that they are just as much a human being after passing on as they were beforehand. When he makes contacts with relatives of people in the audience who have passed on, you can tell by their statements and replies and questionings that they're still just human beings. Perhaps they give a little warning about a job opportunity coming up, or they make note of changes they've made in the house, or they may even get rather personal and say, I forgive you for such and so. Or I accept your forgiveness. And there's a bunch of tears in the audience and some psychological healing. It's all in the realm of human and humans, isn't it? Just because they passed on doesn't make them spiritual. And that's what he says. Passing on in and of itself does not make them spiritual. And so that's proof that if you and I do not make this transition in consciousness here, well, we'll have to make it there. And if we do not make it there, we'll have to try again here. And on we will go until we do make this transition. And this transition is a transition from a mind creation, living in the mind, You can call it world mind or mental images. That which is going on between your ears, making all these judgments and drawing conclusions based on sense testimony, that's the mind creation. We have to make the transition from that to soul or to consciousness. Consciousness, where consciousness imparts to us the real creation, an awareness of the real creation, and we live more as a witness. That's the transition that we're making and that we must make. So he says, those who have passed on have the same opportunity as we have. Their opportunities for expansion and development are just exactly the same as ours. Which is kind of comforting, because if you don't complete this transition, you will still have an opportunity. Now, all of this is in the realm of the human. None of this has to do with spiritual illumination, which is that when people pass on, they're still people. Now he moves into illumined consciousness. Why is that different? Well, number one, illumined consciousness never dies. It never passes on. It's always a state of omnipresent consciousness. If I pass on, he says, I will still be the same state of illumined consciousness that I am now. And it will be right here and now, available to anyone, any of us, who wish to avail themselves of it. So, you must understand that the consciousness of the infinite way is omnipresent right now and right here. That is why we can feel certain it's not a man, it's not a book, it's not an organization, not even a set of principles. It is consciousness, infinite consciousness, or the infinite invisible, and it's available to us here, now, and always will be because of omnipresence. That means, should you or I pass on next week, the infinite way, that consciousness will pass with us. Wherever I am, thou art. What happens to the body is of no concern. The mind, regardless of where or what condition the body would find itself in, we may safely and assuredly state that the mind that was in Christ Jesus hasn't gone anywhere. It is here and it is now. It is just as available to us as it was available to the Hebrews of 2,000 years ago. In fact, it's more available to us now, because they weren't receptive to it, and we are. Now, because we have that access to the mind that was in Christ Jesus, well, how do we have that access to that infinite, invisible, infinite way consciousness here and now? It surrounds you, it permeates you, it is you, but you have no access to it if you are living in that mind creation, the mind drawing all these conclusions. I like him. I don't like him. I like her. Well, I don't like her. Oh, I think he's a good guy. Oh, look at that. Oh, man, how could he do that? What a dictator. Oh, how cruel. How could he beat her that way? Look at him kicking that dog. What a mean man. What a sweet child. What an innocent baby. What a guilty criminal. Oh, I'm just not getting this. Oh, I'm right up there next to Jesus. Oh, I'm just a nothing. I guess I don't understand. Oh, you know, I know these principles a little better than he does. Oh, well, he doesn't understand what he's talking about. Maybe I should just drop him a little email. All of these conclusions based on the senses. Isn't it a beautiful day? Blue sky, cool breeze. Oh, God, there's a hurricane headed this way. I'd better board up the house. I better put in some drinking water. I hope it doesn't do like the last one. Isn't it a lovely fall day? Look at all the colors beginning to change. It's beautiful. Oh my God, there's a forest fire. It's burning all those beautiful colors. I hope it doesn't take my house. Yes, all of these conclusions based on the senses. We don't like to call them judgments because that has a negative connotation to it. I'm judging you. So let's not call them judgments. Let's call them conclusions based on the senses. All those conclusions in the mind. That's what keeps you from the experience of the mind that was in Christ Jesus, or this infinite, invisible, infinite way consciousness, Christ. But what does give you contact with it is continue keeping yourselves in spiritual rhythm. Ultimately, the mind that was in Christ Jesus becomes our individual mind and our individual experience. So by continually making the contact 12 times a day until you've developed that open receptivity so that you are a state of receptivity, a state of awareness, a witness, a walking witness, then that infinite way consciousness becomes your individual mind. It becomes our individual mind, not the human mind. No, it becomes our individual mind as the human mind is dissolved. You can't have both. So, we are making the transition, aren't we, from a human mind, based on the senses, to a walking state of awareness in which we receive impartations, realizations, revelations from the infinite way consciousness. Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, Buddha, Lao Tzu, Jesus, John, Paul, these men have demonstrated that they have no mind of their own. Once you step out of that mind, you have nothing to be born and nothing that can die, because the omnipresence here and now of that infinite way consciousness, Christ consciousness, never comes and never goes. It's a constant state of is, and it is ising you. This is what we must demonstrate. God literally has become their individual consciousness. That's the transition we're making, hopefully through this Kai Lua study series. Each one must retire to the inner sanctuary of their own being and find their God experience, their God contact there. Now he talks about the desires that we all have to help our family members, our relatives, our son, our daughter, our parents, our spouse, our partners, our grandparents, our neighbors, little Johnny down the street, so on and so forth. And he says just outright, for right now, you might as well forget every member of your family and all of your friends and relatives, your children and your parents. Forget them, because they cannot enter into this with you. Yes, you must forsake all for me. And why? Think about it. It seems obvious, doesn't it? If you are concerned with your family members, your relatives, your little niece and nephew, you are concerned about individuals that are created by your sense testimony in your mind. And this we know is a creation not made by God. which was not made. So as long as you're interested and focused on that, you're still in the mind and cannot make the transition. For a while, you must forsake that in order to find out what the real creation is. You may come back to it at a later date, and if you do, you won't be seeing them in the same way. You'll be seeing God individualized. Then you will be able to be of some real help. It is for this reason that whatever of truth is revealed to us is something that we must work with within ourselves up to the point of realization. Always that word realization. It means an inner conscious awareness of the truth. If someone tells you God is individual being, God is the substance of individual being, God is the consciousness of individual being, God is the nature of individual being. You can ponder that. You can paint pretty pictures of it in the mind. You can draw conclusions based on what you think in the mind or feel emotionally in the mind about it, but you still have yet to have realization. Stepping out of that mind in a quiet place, in a quiet space, which you've learned to do by practicing those 12 times a day, you become a witness, a state of awareness, a standing open door of receptivity, and God comes to you as an experience, and in that experience you experience God as individual being, and now you know what it means, as an experience. Now you have had realization. This is the realization, the experience that brings with it power from on high, and nothing else will. So you must work within yourself up to the point of realization. In other words, don't try to share it or heal somebody with it or teach somebody, except what you do silently, but rather work with it within your consciousness until you have achieved a measure of the light or experience. And then after that, you will be directed how, when and where and under what circumstances to share, to impart, or to reveal it. Ultimately, you will have a part in God's unfoldment to human consciousness, and you will play that part as a practitioner, healer, teacher, or lecturer, or writer, but in whatever way God chooses. See, all these desires about what we'd like to be, again, that's part of the mind, a creation that was not made and cannot be made, cannot be maintained or sustained. Stepping out of that in our quiet times, we stand still as a witness. So we stand still and see God revealing its creation, the one it maintains and sustains, and in that creation, you have a part. So you can afford to forget the world and not be concerned with it, whether it blows up or not. And I mean even the world of your friends and relatives, because there isn't anything you can do about it. So there's no need to go out and try to work for world peace. When the Master went to the mountains for his 40 days of prayer and meditation, he cared little how many died or sinned down on the plains. And that's the attitude we have to take for a while. It may seem selfish, but you have nothing to give unless you learn to make this contact. It doesn't do any good to give the words. When you make the contact, you still have nothing to give, but now you're a witness as God gives itself through you. So whatever a blessing anyone has ever had through their contact with me, says Joel, has come not because of Joel, but because something during the day or night, a God contact, was attained and then maintained and sustained. And if there were no such God contact, you would be unfortunate in ever having turned to me for help, because you wouldn't get it. You see that? It all keeps coming back to that contact. This whole thing called the infinite way revolves around that one principle. If you get that principle and live it within your being, well, the Spirit of Truth will teach you all things from there. You may have all the desire in the world to want to help your relatives and friends and to heal them. You may even go further than that and decide that it's your duty to help save the world. Well, just save your breath and save your strength, because you're not going to accomplish one single tiny bit of it except in proportion to your consciously realized Christ. And there's that word realized again. So if you have to hide away for 40 days and 40 nights, or 400 days and 400 nights, or if you had to do as I did and stay away in a little office for 16 years, waiting for that moment of culmination, well, then you'll just have to do it. And so it is with all of us. There is an illumination possible to every individual on the face of the globe in proportion to the intensity of their desire for it. But they must make that God contact. So, how do you show your desire for it? You practice this thing, if necessary, 400 days and 400 nights until you have attained the ability to make that contact. Otherwise, you're just a human being. You're just a mind living in a mind creation that doesn't exist and trying to fix it. But if you attain that contact and it begins to reveal itself to you, and it begins to reveal what it is as individual being, then that consciousness, Christ's consciousness, is living itself as you on earth. In other words, Christ lives your individual experience, and Christ is your individual mind. In other words, it's worth the 400 days and the 400 nights to make the transition from a personal mind to Christ walking on earth. Whatever blessing you ever will be to anyone on earth will be determined by your state of individual consciousness. It will all depend on your developed individual state of consciousness. And your developed state of consciousness, what is that? Well, I wrote a little explanation here. Your developed ability to see the non-power of effects created by the mind and to make contact with God within, and let it reveal itself where those effects appeared to be. This is the developed consciousness. So practice, study, meditate, do all those things until you achieve the click, the release, the realization. On every problem presented to you over and over and over again, this takes work to develop this consciousness. How bad do you want it? How bad do I want it? Then he takes a different tact here and starts to talk about the temptations that come after you have this developed consciousness. I have witnessed in this work how these temptations have come to many people. And temptation is always the same, by the way. It's the temptation to exercise a personal sense of self, or the temptation to believe in a personal sense of self. Any temptation that any one has ever had is multiplied many, many times as soon as they have this developed spiritual consciousness. So you can look forward to, as soon as you make the contact and are beginning to make it daily, almost at will, temptations will hit you. And it will be the temptation of ego, which comes in subtle forms, sometimes as subtle as believing that, oh, now your prayers are effective. Your healing power is very good. Now, as long as you understand that that's just another trap of this personal sense of self, this human mind trying to exert itself, then of course it won't fool you, you won't be tricked into believing it. You are nothing. I am nothing. Ah, but this infinite consciousness which flows through, in, and as us as we make this contact, that indeed is God or Christ. Now, he again takes another turn where he's going to talk about thanksgiving, gratitude, love, appreciation, adoration, recognition. Let us be very clear on this point. God does not need our praise, nor our thanksgiving, nor our gratitude or recognition or reward. As a matter of fact, there is no God actually that cares whether or not any individual pays homage to God. And I realized that a long time ago as I was contemplating that. I took that statement of the Masters, God, you must worship God in the Spirit. God seeketh such to worship Him. And I thought, now what is worshiping? And I thought about church and the hymns we sing to God and the praises and that form of worship. And I thought, now that's silly. Why would God, which is one presence, omnipresence, why would God need itself to sing something to itself? Now that's just totally ridiculous. And so I realized that has nothing to do with worshiping God. And yet there are times in my meditation today where I feel a deep, deep love flows from me to God and back from God to me. I feel it. It actually is an actual experience. And so that's kind of a praising and adoration, isn't it? But it's different. That one results in a feeling of union or oneness, rather than a feeling of, I'm this lowly being down here praising you up there. So our praise and gratitude do nothing at all for God, but oh, what they do for us. Love, appreciation, gratitude, joy, receptivity, responsiveness to life, truth, and love, to God. It changes the whole physical body as well as the mind of man. Yes, because it leads you to that experience of union, which we just mentioned. All right, so after he goes over some of David's outpouring of love, he gets to this principle here. Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, those who live and move and have their being in acknowledgement of God as the source of all experience, to them, God has never deserted them. And those who have the developed state of consciousness, have you ever asked yourself, what is the secret place of the Most High and how do I get there? I have. I take a lot of these things and I ask questions. I talk to God like Joel said he does. God, what is the meaning of this? What does this mean? I don't get it. Where is this? How do I get in it? And then I get quiet and something will come. I probably didn't need the first part like he said, but that's the mind exerting itself. Then when I get that calmed down, I can go beyond that, and in the stillness receive an impartation. So, those who have the developed state of consciousness, which can dismiss error as nothingness, and rest in an actual God contact, have found the secret place of the Most High. That's the secret place of the Most High. If you can dismiss the error of the senses, as a nothing, as mental images, that mind again, be still, and rest back in an actual God contact, an actual God experience that moves through you, into you. Then you are resting in that secret place of the Most High. You would have no way of describing it to anybody, but when you're in it, you know it. And if you're in that, that is the place where all of these things pass over. They do not come nigh your dwelling place in there. And that ultimately becomes the in there, ultimately becomes the out here, because it transforms your experience. That which the mind has been showing you all these years dissolves. It slowly dissolves. That which is within, which is revealed to you, looks as if it's slowly forming itself, but it's not. It's slowly becoming apparent. Just as the dawn of a new day, if you've ever been out camping and awakened early when the stars were still out, and all of a sudden the day gets lighter and lighter, and the forest around you, you become aware of it. There's the trees, there's the stream, now the rock, the cliff. Okay? That's the same experience. As you go into that secret place of the Most High, the dawning of the Christ happens, and you become aware of an entire creation in which you are waking up. So now he's going to take something that David said and go into another principle. Every trap that we build for somebody, we end up in. I was realizing yesterday or the day before, you know, you're perfectly free to judge. There's no God in heaven saying, "You stop that, you bad person. Stop that judging." It's not a good or bad issue. It's not a moral issue. Well, you shouldn't judge because you're being a bad little boy or girl. No, it has nothing to do with that. That's the mind again in this good and bad creation. You want to judge? Have at it. I've had days where, not recently, but I've had days in the past where I've judged half the people just walking by. Look at him, he's blah, blah, blah. Look at her, she's... Haven't you? Sure you have. Especially if you're having a bad day. All right. It doesn't mean we can't do that. Go ahead, have fun. That's not the reason you're not to judge. Well, what's the reason? It is because if we judge or draw conclusions based on the senses... Well, there's nothing wrong or sinful about it. It isn't bad. But it means that we are living and building a mental image world into which we will enter and pay the price of living in a good and evil world, a mind creation, or Genesis 2. See, your judging is that mind building Genesis 2. And if you think about it that way, my goodness, no, I don't want to judge. I don't want to build that false creation and then live in it. Yuck, yuck. No, thank you. Only as I am bearing witness to the spiritual nature of individual you and me, only then have I destroyed the snare, the trap, the delusion, the net, and I have become free. So, the solution to judging is not thinking good thoughts about God or people, but entering within and making that contact so that you can become receptive, become a witness, so that you can bear witness to God revealing itself as individual being. And then that new consciousness will appear as Genesis 1, a new life, a new dimension, a new experience, a new creation. You see, there is a mistaken belief that men and women are spiritual beings and divine ideas. There is a mistaken belief that animals and insects are the life of God. That's a trap. It is a misunderstanding. Why? Because no sense picture is spiritual. It's the mind creation. But that which is imparted within is the spiritual creation revealed. So he says, if you have gathered the idea from the infinite way that men and women are spiritual children of God, you are all wrong. God is the life of individual being. But you must go within and ask and knock and seek that God reveal that individual spiritual being to your awareness. And then watch, wait, and witness in silence as God reveals itself as individual being. Then you've had the realization of it, and you enter the real creation. And so now he's saying what I said in that talk. If you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, it is not of God. It's a false creation. If you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, it's not yourself. It's a false self. If you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, it's not your wife, your husband, your child, your parent, your neighbor, your friend, your enemy, your departed loved ones. It's a mental image. It's not of God. Do you see that? But you who have opened your consciousness to spiritual vision, and spiritual vision is given to you by grace, well, you who have gone within and made the contact will receive the realization of what God is as individual being. You will see God as individual being as your wife, your spouse, your friend, your child, your parent, your enemy, your loved one. You will see them in their true identity. And so we have a choice, don't we? We can live in the mind creation of the second chapter of Genesis, or we can take this path the Kailua Study Group is taking. Be one of 2,000 worldwide who discover by inner revelation, the actual experience, what God is as individual being, what God is as true identity, true self, what it's like to walk the earth a witness to Christ, walking the earth as us, and what it's like to wake up in that spiritual creation, the first chapter of Genesis. You are only a spiritual being when the Spirit of God comes alive in you. Then are ye the children of God. And that's the secret. So, here we are again, back at the same principle. We must go within, and only when you have received the Spirit as an impartation from God within, as an experience, only then are you the child of God, because then you are the Christ itself, walking this earth. Only to you it will not be earth. It will be God appearing as that perfect creation, as the infinite way consciousness appearing as form. So that's our choice, and that's our chapter. And next week will be all about how to die daily to this false sense of existence, so that we may awaken to our, well, the truth that Christ is the only presence where we are. The infinite awake consciousness is appearing as us. Thank you. God bless. God's love. God's presence.